tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it?
Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back,
but it was signed by Babe Ruth!
You keep telling me that. Who is she?
Well, don't touch that dial, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Swat!
The King of Crack!
The Colossus of Clout!
The Colossus of Clout!
Babe Ruth!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Here's Tom Morgan.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. Our regular producer, Adam, is off this week, so George will be handling the boards and taking your phone calls. You can give us a call at 312-332-3776. If you have the question about the value of an item that you might have, pop culture, political, sports, collectible, give us a call, 312-332-3776, and we're giving away two boxes this week to one caller, or if you tweet me a question, T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. The boxes are Court Kings Basketball and Press Pass Total Memorabilia Racing, and Vince Clementi is back with us this week. Vince, how are we going to get those boxes to the winner if they win?
If you're the lucky winner, just email me, Vince, at ercdelivery.com, and I will deliver it to you free of charge.
Very good. And Bill Huggins, well, the Huggins and Scott auction ended on Thursday, I believe it was. So we'll be going over some of the final prices, some big-time items ended in there. But Bill has somebody with him from Huggins. Steve Dickler is on with us today, and I guess Steve is an expert on unopened packs and boxes, correct?
Yes, he is. Steve's with me here, Tom. And Steve has been dealing in unopened wax for the last 20 to 30 years. So if any of our callers have questions about the packs or how to look for stuff, Steve could certainly help them as far as what to look for and things like that, as well as value.
So if you have some unopened material that you think might be valuable, today's a good day to call in with a question about that. The number's 312-332-3776. Steve, a question that I think most people, that I hear the most from people that like to collect the unopened material is, how can you tell, are there ways that you can tell if you're buying something to know that it hasn't been tampered with?
That's always a good question, Tom. But there are a lot of things you should look at when you're procuring anything of vintage, unopened nature. When you're looking at individual packs, and prior to modern day, you want to make sure that all the corners are folded on a 45-degree angle. And when I say all the corners, that means all four corners. If you get a pack that three corners are folded and one isn't, or it looks like it may be wrapped around instead of a 45 degree, there's a good chance that that pack has been resealed. Another thing to look for, Tom, is there always were roller marks that would seal the wax on the back of the pack. And when you're looking at the roller marks, they come across the flaps. So you want to make sure that they're lined up between one flap to the other.
Oh, okay.
And they're normally about 1 3/4 inches apart. A couple other things. You don't want to see any burn marks or tarnishing marks. And another thing I've learned over the years is with a vintage pack, make sure that you can pull the seal back a little bit and it's not too hard. If you can't pull the seal back, then it could have been re-glued. And that's another thing that would be smart to look at, you know, when you're buying a lot of these expensive packs.
Now, the card there are grading companies that actually grade and authenticate these packs and even unopened boxes, correct?
That is correct. I believe PSA will grade your packs. I know they will. They grade packs. I'm not sure if they grade boxes today. I don't know if they have holders for it. There are another company out there, I believe it used to be GAI. They would also authenticate and grade their boxes.
All right. Well, very good. Steve Dickler from Huggins and Scott Auctions. So if you have any questions on open material, today's a good day for that. 312-332-3776. Or, of course, you can call about any other questions, any other items. We'll be answering your questions, and we've got a couple boxes to give away. Just real quick, the first thing I noticed, that Brooks Robinson 1968 3D prototype card graded SGC 20, a 1.5, ended at $20,000, if I'm reading the zeros correctly, Bill. Is that right? 20 grand for that baby?
Yeah, that's actually the second one we ever sold. The first one actually got $30,000. Oh. So I guess, you know, when you take the high bidder off the table from the last one, generally when a real rare card like that surfaces, the first one gets the most, and then a lot of times it falls in a little underneath that for the second one.
With you guys being right outside of Washington, D.C., where you're headquartered, I see you always get a lot of really good Orioles items. You had that Orioles World Series ring from 1970 from a scout. Went for $4,500. And we'll mix in some of those items along the way today. So, George, can you light up this board here so I can bring the guys in? Like right now, so I can press these here and bring the guys in. All right, very good. We've got Alex calling on the line today. What's up, Alex? What do you have?
Morning, guys. I have an unopened box of North Carolina basketball trading cards when Michael Jordan played on the team. Autographed by Michael Jordan and authenticated.
The box is autographed?
It is.
Oh, really? Did you get that done yourself?
I did. I got authenticated. I got the paper authenticating it and the picture with me and Michael.
Ah, now that's... Did you get anything else signed by him that day?
I have a couple other things from signed. I've got a piece of the old Chicago Stadium floor.
Oh, that's signed cool.
Signed by him, Kukoc, Horace Grant, John Paxson, a couple other guys.
So where did you meet him that you were able to do this? Do you know him personally, or were you at some basketball camp?
I played AAU with Jeffrey.
Ah, I see. Very good. So now, I don't think those North Carolina boxes are worth much, but probably a few hundred dollars with the Jordan signature on it, correct, Steve? As far as you know, there's not much value to those unopened boxes, are there?
No, that's correct. Although they're getting harder and harder to find right now. So average price on that will range anywhere, depending on the size of the box, $20 to $35.
Yeah, so not a big box, but the Jordan autograph definitely helps it, Alex. Okay, thanks for the call. Have a good one. The Green Lantern's on the line. What's new, Lantern? What have you been up to?
Oh, it's Tommy. How you guys doing?
We're doing well.
Good, good. Hey, I got a Dr. J autographed ABA ball. What's something like that go for?
I like those ABA balls.
It's, yeah, me too.
Actually, the ABA balls, some of those still in the box are worth a ton. Is it one of the ones from back in the day? Did you get that done in the 70s?
No, unfortunately it's not. It's one of the newer versions, which is not even leather. I think it's more of a composite leather.
Yeah, that's probably not as good. Bill, have you had many ABA autographed basketballs in your auctions?
Well, we actually, Tom, have had an unopened one from the 70s, which I want to say got $2,500, $3,500.
Yeah, those are crazy what they go for.
Oh, yeah. That was unsigned.
I used to play with those all the time. What was I thinking? Why didn't I put one of those away?
If we only knew.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. That's the perfect example. Who would think an ABA ball would go for that much?
Yep.
Lantern, the ball signed by George or by Irving on the ABA ball, they still bring $200-$400.
Hey, Lantern, do you have any Rodney Dangerfield signed items?
I tell you, my dog. We call him Egypt. He leaves a pyramid in every room.
I take the no.
I don't. I have a picture of him in a Mets uniform.
Do you?
Yeah, he did a famous picture in a Mets uniform, and it had a big, you know, we get no respect on it.
No, that's perfect.
That's got to be, like, the best Dangerfield I've heard ever.
That is
great, really good.
Didn't you meet him one time and talk to him for a while?
I did. Yes, I did. I used to go to his club a lot in New York.
So all you have to do is talk to a guy for a while, and immediately you have the ability to take over.
No, just him for some reason. I don't know why.
Okay, we'll have a good one. The number here is 312-332-3776. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and today we have Steve Dickler, also from Huggins and Scott, who is an expert on unopened packs and boxes. So give us a call, 312-332-3776, with a question about the value of a collectible, whether it's sports, pop culture, or political. Or if you have any unopened material questions, give us a call, 312-332-3776. And we're giving away actually two good boxes this week, a box of Court Kings basketball and a Press Pass Total Memorabilia Racing box. The Riverview guy is on the line. What do you have this week, Riverview guy?
Hi, guys. How you doing today?
Good. What's new?
Not much. To borrow a line from The Sandlot, you used a ball by Babe Ruth. You're not in trouble. You're dead where you stand.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you. That was a good movie.
I was watching it the other day, in fact. It's a great movie.
Do you have a Babe Ruth signature in your collection, Riverview guy?
Oh, no, that's on my wish list, Tom.
Yeah, everybody's, I guess.
Yeah, I know. I've got a ball signed by Harry Carey. He signed Holy Cow. It's also got other autographs on of previous Cubs. It's got Joe Girardi on it. It's got Dwight Smith's autograph. Doug DeCenzo, Mark Grace is on the ball, too.
You'd be better with just a Harry Carey signed ball, actually. It's probably still, just because Harry's on there, it's probably, I would think, still $40 or $50. But, yeah, the value, the Dwight Smith DeCenzo collectors aren't there like you might think. So also in the Huggins and Scott auction that ended April 10th, the April auction, there was a BGS 9 Sidney Crosby 2005-06 Artifacts 1-of-1 gold rookie card sold for $2,750. You guys get some pretty good high-end newer products in your auctions, Bill.
Yeah, I am not the great shiny card expert. We have several guys on our staff that kind of handle that aspect of the consignments and all for us. But I'm told by a lot of these shiny card dealers that we have a great following for the middle to high-end, one-of-ones and things of that nature. We've sold quite a number of them over the years.
The cards seem to do well when you get them, that's for sure. Boy, here's a 1962 Topps football set, a higher grade set, went for $10,000. I guess the vintage football market is doing okay. $10,000 for that.
Well, that was really an aberration. I mean, this set, when the gentleman brought it in, it was his set when he was a kid.
Wow.
And he's actually consigned stuff to us before, and I mean, when I saw this set, it was like, oh, my God, with the black quarters and all these things were little mini Gillette razor blades. And rather than getting it graded, he brought it in kind of late for us. It wouldn't have made it in the auction. We kind of just ran it raw, and I had several, if not six or eight dealers come and view that set and sat down for, 20, 30 minutes with little lists and everything, writing down numbers and everything, and I had a funny feeling that set was going to go nuts.
Wow, that really did. Yeah, they look beautiful from the scans that you have. If you ever want to go to HugginsandScott.com, you can check out the items that ended in their last auction. And now you're working on the June auction, correct, Bill?
Yeah, we are. We're up in Hofstra University today and gathering material for the June auction and some neat pieces for our Masterpiece auction in August at the National in Cleveland.
Now, at the Masterpiece thing, you have those on display at the National?
Oh, yeah, and they're actually, that's one of the only shows where the auction is live during the show, meaning it begins the Monday before the National and is running throughout the entire National. People can walk up to our table, point to an item, how much is this? And I tell them, well, it's currently at $800. Do you want to be $850? And they go, yes, I do. We sign them up, register. Webster, and they did right then and there.
Very good. Well, the number here is 312-332-3776. Get your call in with a question about the value of an item. And we're giving away a box of Court Kings basketball and Press Pass Total Memorabilia Racing. It's time for a short break. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Tune in Sunday mornings at 7 for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins & Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
On ESPN Chicago and ESPNChicago.com.
We're back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins & Scott Auctions. George is in for our producer, Adam Abdallah, this week, so he'll be answering your phone calls at 312-332-3776. Give us a call with a question about the value of your collectible, pop culture, sports, or political, and we'll try to give you our best estimate of what we think that might go for in a current auction. And also we have Steve Dickler from Huggins on with us, who's an unopened pack and box expert. So if you have anything like that, you have a question of, if you have a few boxes of 1954 Topps baseball that you just found under the floorboards of your kitchen.
Just happened
like
to
that
be there,
one
you know?
Caller that one time.
Yes.
How about
yes.
that? But give us a call and Steve can tell you the value of some of those unopened boxes, and we're giving away.
People be get over to your house if you have
a. Yeah, right. You'll see a helicopter come in with Steve Dickler and Bill Huggins. Yeah. Will fly in to pick that up.
Or a chartered jet, you know?
Yeah, that was one of the all time ever great calls that we had on the show. Yeah, we were tearing up our floor of our old house, and we found like 8 boxes of 1954 Topps baseball. Oh. So anyway, the number's 312-332-3776. Vince had a good question when we went to the break. Vince,
yeah, Bill, you know, on this, I'm looking at the scans of the 1962 football set, and I see Ernie Davis there, and that's just a great, great card. Is that his only card ever made? Because I know didn't he die in his first year? Or?
There's a card of him in the 1960 new card set as well.
Okay.
Gotcha. It was sort of a college issued set where he's with Syracuse on that card.
Right, what a talent!
But
he
I think
was.
Those are the only two cards of him.
Yeah,
yeah. I had a customer pull a cut signature out of National Treasures football of him a couple years ago, and there really weren't many cut signatures. There aren't a lot of signatures, not a lot of his stuff out there. So that's a neat set. What isn't 62 the Ditka rookie too in there?
Yeah. Ditka, Tarkenton. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great set. Tom from Algonquin's on the line. What do you have there, Tom?
Hello, yes.
Hey, Tom.
Let's yes, go, while we're young.
Okay, while we go, yay. Yeah, I've got a program from the 1978 Marlboro Cup. Me and a friend drove out there from Illinois in my Volkswagen, and we attended the races at Belmont Park on that day, and I kept the program. It was the first time two Triple Crown winners ever met. Seattle Slough defeated Affirmed. I think they met one other time after that. I should know that because I'm a big thoroughbred racing enthusiast, but I've got the program from that day.
That's cool. Any value in that, Bill?
Well, Tom, do you happen to have any like a $2 win ticket or anything on any one of the horses from that? Or?
No. Me and my friend went to the $5 window, and I told the teller, just keep punching the button on Seattle Slough. And he came out of the tunnel onto the racetrack breathing fire, and Cordero had him wrapped up as tight as he could. We said, man, they're not going to touch this horse today. But no, I don't. I just have the program itself.
Did you ever see Secretariat race, Tom?
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, I was not into the sport until 1977, so I missed him when he showed up at Arlington Park for that his race there at Arlington. But I was in person for that day and the following day at Belmont in 78, and we witnessed that, and I saved the program.
Any idea on that program value, Bill?
I don't know that I've ever sold one before, Tom, but I'm guessing it's probably in the $100 range or so to some horse racing enthusiasts. It's not signed by any of the jockeys or anything, or Any hoof prints from a fern?
No, it's got a couple of numbers of plus and minus what I either made or lost on each of the races preceding it. So
was it a good day for you, Tom?
Yeah, actually it was. Yeah, we came out a little bit in the black, nothing fantastic or anything like that. We had a chance to make a great score at Atlantic City, I think about a week later. We were out there for 2 weeks, and we missed out on being the only ones holding the winning trifecta ticket in the last race one day at Atlantic City. But kind of a heartbreak story, actually. But
still ruined that day.
All these years later, yeah, still ruined it.
Right. Bill from Oswego's on the line. Tell us what you have there, Bill.
I have a football from Super Bowl 20, and it's signed by Walter Payton. My uncle gave it to me. He used to work for the Bears. And he told me it was one of the Super Bowls that was on the sidelines, ready to get in the game, but it never actually got into the game.
Now, how does that affect the value of a Peyton ball, Bill, if it was a Super Bowl ball, not game used, but a Super Bowl ball?
Well, those are much more collectible, obviously much tougher to get than just a generic football and everything. And back then, they weren't as prevalent as they are today. I think they make hundreds or thousands of them today, so it's much harder to get one from back then, and the further back you go, it becomes even tougher to get an actual Super Bowl ball. But I would say that ball's, you know, got to be, you know, $1,000.
Yeah, nice. You know. That would be a Huggins and Scott item if he ever decided to sell it, right? Bill?
Is it? Yeah. Oh, without a doubt, that'd be a great item for our auction.
Okay, very good. Thanks for the call, Bill.
Thank you.
Oh, now, my Twitter ID is T-Crown Tom, so if you have a question for the show, you can send it to me to T-Crown Tom on Twitter, and if I use it, you'll also get in the drawing. We're giving away a box of Court Kings basketball and Press Pass Total Memorabilia Racing. Mark sent me one here. He has a framed collage with 8x10s and autographs of all three Michigan Heisman Trophy winners, Harmon, Howard, and Woodson. It's PSA authenticated. That's now, Mark, if you can send a picture of it, that would help. But Bill Huggins, what do you think of the value of an item like that? That sounds pretty cool. A lot of Michigan fans out there, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Now, who were the three again?
Harmon, Howard, and Woodson.
All right. Well, I don't know. I mean, depending, yeah, like you said, Tom, on what it looks like, how it plays and everything is probably going to go toward determining value, but I mean, it could be, you know, $300 to $500 depending on what it looks like.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Sounds nice. Very good. That's T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. If you have a question, it's always good if you send a picture along too, where people can see if they want to look at it. What we're talking about. Okay, we have AJ from Bolingbrook on the line. What do you have there, AJ?
Yeah. Hi. Good morning.
Hello.
Yeah, hey, I get a couple of 1989 Topps traded Barry Sanders rookie. Their slab on a WCG slab. Just wondering if how much is the value for these runs.
WCG is not, to me, I don't even consider them a viable grader. We can ask Bill what he thinks about that. To me, there's three legitimate grading companies. It's PSA, SGC, and BGS. And if it's in the other ones, I always just question why they would even be in those. So to me, that hurts the value quite a bit of them. Bill, have you had any experience with any other grading companies that you trust, or are those pretty much the three you look for also?
Well, you're right, Tom. Those are the three main recognized companies by at least all of our bidders, and I would think the majority of the collectors in the country as far as who they want their cards graded by. I mean, I'm always amazed when I see some cards in these other grading things that they only have 10 holders. Meaning that there is no nines, there are no eights, everything's a 10.
Yeah, right.
So if somebody had that, would you suggest them actually sending it in slabbed and then maybe it could be taken out or, you know, moved
and
to a more...
The companies won't. The companies won't. If you send a card in one of those unrecognized holder or grading companies to SGC or any of the other three major companies, they won't take it out of a holder.
So you have to crack it out yourself.
You'd have to remove it and submit it raw.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, but AJ, it isn't even really recognized as a grading company. If they look really sharp, you might want to take them out. Now, those 89 tops traded Barry Sanders cards aren't that valuable unless they are in like a BGS 10 or a PSA 10 holder. So you probably ought to try to do that. But if you don't know how to get them out, maybe look online and see if there's something. I'm sure there's a video for everything that would show you how to crack out a card out of a holder.
There's a video for everything. A video of something.
There is.
It's there.
I'm always leery, especially if it's a vintage card and it's in one of those that there's something wrong with it, like it was trimmed or whatever, and they only put it into that company because they didn't figure the other companies would probably grade it.
They want to sell it and rip somebody off
basically,
a couple bucks or whatever.
So I'm always very leery on stuff like that.
Tom, the best two tools you need, and I watch my son Ricky cracks out a lot of the cards from things, you need pliers and a hammer.
Okay. Is the hammer to hit on your head if you don't pull it out with the pliers right? Or
I don't know. They use pliers and a hammer on the end of a table or something and just cracked off part of it, and then it kind of pops open,
Maybe that's one of the reasons that some of these baseball players are ending up on the disabled list. Maybe they've been using the wrong tool.
There's so many guys
Tommy John surgery.
It's crazy.
There were a couple days ago, there had already been 17 pitchers since the start of spring training undergoing Tommy John surgery. I never realized how many baseball injuries there were until I got into fantasy baseball this year. It's incredible. There's guys every single day when you look at the notes, there's a guy or two that's hurt and somebody going on the DL. It's really just incredible. And for me, just as a White Sox fan, when Avisail Garcia went down and he's out for the year, that was so disappointing.
Even from a Cubs fan perspective like me, it was hard to see that happen, and I didn't want to see that either. That was
22-year-old guy with that type of five-tool talent.
Yep.
He had just had a huge game the day before, two homers, two other hits. The only time they got him out, he was robbed by the third baseman.
Yep.
He could run.
Wasn't like just he tweaked a hammy running the bases. He was going all out to catch that
ball.
And you hate to see an injury like that.
Right. That's why he's exciting to watch, because he does stuff like that. Yep. That was really depressing. Plus, I had him on my team, which makes it all the worse. And then now, Jose Abreu, another young White Sox player, he didn't look good at all yesterday. Obviously, guys are going to have good days and bad days. But, boy, has he been impressive coming up. I thought it was interesting. I don't know if you guys watched his first home run.
It was like a 9-iron. It was like a pitch shot over the left field wall. It was like he was golfing.
It was, but the thing about it, it was a 12-pitch at bat where he had fouled off about 8-9 pitches. I think it was on ESPN on SportsCenter. They showed pitch after pitch after pitch, and then he hits the high fly. It just kept going. Yep. But I guess, after seeing that, it took a few at-bats for him to get it. No one ever said it was going to be easy in the major leagues, that's for sure.
No.
But I'll tell you, if I'm Major League Baseball, I'm looking into these Tommy John surgeries, and I'm trying to figure out, okay, are these pitchers throwing a different pitch that they didn't used to throw? Are they not playing just enough regular baseball as they're growing up over the years? Are they too just pitching oriented, pitch counts early when they're even in high school or whatever? They've got to look this over and find out what's going on, because this is really getting out of hand. Guys are going, they're 23 and they've had two Tommy John surgeries.
This didn't happen in the olden days.
No.
You know, Juan Marichal, they'd pitch, complete games week after week and just never be hurt.
Guys like Fergie Jenkins would pitch 300 innings and he threw a slider. We were saying, maybe is it sliders? I don't think so. But what, maybe is it a split finger? What are they throwing that's hurting their arm so much? Or are they just not throwing often enough and not stretching out their arms often enough? That's something they've got to look into, because it's really gotten in. And all the teams are acting safer and safer with
and
their
pitchers.
And it's
still not changing.
And it's getting
worse.
It's
still not changing.
It's getting more and more. The safer they are, the less they throw, the more they get hurt. So that apparently isn't the answer. I think they really need to look into that, though. So it's time for another short break here. The number is 312-332-3776. We're giving away to one caller a box of Court Kings basketball and a box of Press Pass Total Memorabilia Racing. You can also tweet me a question at T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. We're on till 8 a.m. Central Time. If we get your question on, you'll get in the drawing. So hang in there. We'll be right back, folks.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
We're back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins & Scott Auctions, and also from Huggins & Scott this week, we have Steve Dickler on with us, who's an expert in unopened packs and boxes. So if you have a question on that type of material, give us a call. Or if you can always call with a question about the value of any of your sports, pop culture, or political items, the number is 312-332-3776. We're giving away a box of Court Kings basketball and a Press Pass Total Memorabilia Racing box to one caller. Or if you tweet me a question to T Crown Tom, my Twitter ID, and we use it on the show, you'll get in the drawing. You know, the Masters always seems to get people heading for the golf courses. And yesterday, being 70 degrees, I bet a bunch of people were heading to the courses. I wonder how the Chicago area courses are. I wonder how beat up they are from this winter, this brutal winter we went through. And it's kind of interesting with Tiger not at the Masters, but there's a possibility there could be the youngest Masters winner ever or the oldest Masters winner ever.
Miguel Angel Jimenez is 50, and he's in contention. Right. And then you have Jordan Spieth, who is 20 years old. So.
I was looking at Jordan Spieth. There aren't any cards of him yet, so it'll be interesting. If he wins that, I imagine Upper Deck will be racing to get some autographs of him into some of the products. I was kind of surprised he wasn't already in something as a prospect, like a rookie guy or something.
It'd be pretty cool to see if there's a playoff between Spieth
that would be cool to see who handles it the
for
best
for the Masters. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, you're taking golf lessons this year, aren't you?
I am with Golf Tech, still not up to where I want to be, but we're gonna have hope for next week.
Now, is that a type of place that you hit it into a screen and you can play all different courses and it shows where you smack it,
something like that? Yeah, and then you're hooked up to like this machine that'll test your angle and your, you know, your speed and all that stuff. So there you go. Where's Rod Serling? He's about to walk in, isn't he?
Yeah, this shows how we're gonna hit it, huh?
That's right.
Jim from the South Side's on the line. What do you have there, Jim?
Hey, Tom, I know you're a big Sox fan. I got a ball that's signed by, I was at the game yesterday, it's signed by Polina and Nick Swisher's home run from yesterday. Nick Swisher hit the ball off of Polina. Polina's having such a great year, I'm sure this ball's worth a lot.
you actually had him sign it, too?
Oh, yeah. Polina signed it, and it said White Sox are shooting for 100 losses this year.
Okay, Jim. Now, wait a minute here.
Something's funny on this one, Tom. Something's not right.
Yeah, I don't think he'd have been signing that, Jim. So you got that ball, ran into the locker room. And do you have anything that you really have there, Jim? Up there.
Off he goes.
There he goes. I repeat. Okay, the number here is 312-332-3776. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins & Scott Auctions. Give us a call of items that you really do have if you want to know the value of your item. And we're giving away a couple of boxes. Or you can tweet me a question at TCrownTom is my Twitter ID. Okay, some items that ended in the April auction for Huggins and Scott. There was a Mike Schmidt 1988 signed game-worn home jersey. $4,000 for that. That seems like a good price for that, Bill.
We've had a few Schmidt jerseys lately. I don't know if there's an abundance of them in the market right now or not, but that was a good price for that.
Yeah. Now, here's an autograph I don't know that I had ever seen before. on a ball. It was Miller Huggins. Oh, no, he was on, that was a cut signature. Miller Huggins. I don't think I've ever seen his signature before. That went for $2,500. There must not be a lot of those out there.
No, he died in 1929. There's not many of his signatures out there.
So did Joe McCarthy must have followed him as the manager. I have a ball signed by a bunch of old-timers, and Joe McCarthy's one of the signatures on it, which is kind of neat to have a ball. If you don't have a Babe Ruth ball, you could have a signed ball from the guy, one of the guys who managed Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, I guess.
Yes.
That's as close as I come. Jeff from Lake Forest is on the line. Tell us what you have there, Jeff.
I was digging through my folks' basement and found an old hockey stick. My dad took me to meet Keith Magnuson in the early 70s, and he signed a stick and a black and white 8x10 photo. Just wondered if you guys could maybe give me an idea about what those might be worth.
Was that a game-used stick of Magnuson?
No, I'm pretty sure it's just a novelty stick that we probably picked up just for Keith to sign it at the time.
Huh, yeah. He died in a car accident, I believe, at a fairly young age, which was pretty tragic. But I don't think there's a ton of value to his items. Have you had any sticks of him in your auctions, Bill?
No, I haven't. Yeah, it was tragic what happened to him. I just, as far as values on those, it's really hard to say. It would have to be something that may be the first one that we would run. It'd almost be a test to see what type of a market is for that.
Yeah. I actually, speaking of golf, I saw him at a golf outing one time. He seemed like a good guy.
Yeah, I'm looking on eBay. I don't really see anything Keith Magnuson having to do with a hockey stick. There's some autos going for around $50, but nothing on his hockey stick.
Yeah. My first thought was it would probably be in the $100 range, but you never know. Maybe it would be worth a try. And Jack from Roselle is on the line here. I think we're ready with Jack, aren't we here? Let's check it out. Oh, not yet. We're still bringing him in. Okay, some other items. Let's see. Now, here's something interesting that was in the Huggins auction. There was a Willie Keeler 1898 Cameo Pepsi gum pen. That's hard to spit that all out. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Bill?
Well, those are very tough, these little Pepsi gum pins there. You don't see too many of them. I'm not sure exactly how many were in the set, but the pre-1900 era stuff is very tough, and when it comes up, we usually get strong bidding and good money for all that.
I had mentioned on the show leading up to the auction, there was a Babe Ruth Yankee Stadium locker tag, and that ended up going for $2,200. So that was like a metal piece that was on his locker in Yankee Stadium. Is that what that was, Bill?
Well, I guess, or something that hung kind of in the middle of the locker at the top so that people knew which locker was theirs
that's pretty
didn't
neat.
Know it by heart.
It looked cool. I guess, when you got it, I'm not sure what you would do with it. You'd have to display it, maybe in a shadow box or something. But that was neat. Okay, Jack from Roselle's on the line. Tell us what you have there, Jack.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I've got a Ron Lewis litho. He signed it. And it is of the top, or it's of the 10 top 3,000 strikeout pitchers. And it's a modern day. Nolan Ryan, Steve Carlton, Fergie Jenkins, things like that. But it's signed by all 10 of them.
All 10, including Ron, and Ron Lewis signed it also.
Correct.
Is that framed, Jack?
It is framed.
And what size would you say it is?
I'm going to put it at 30 by 24.
Okay. Bill, have you run that?
We have. They sell for in the neighborhood of $500 to $1,000.
Okay.
Yeah, very nice. Now, how long have you had that, Jack?
I've had that probably a couple years. I got it at an auction for $350, so I think I'm in a good neighborhood.
There, you did well. Very good.
Thank you.
Okay, the number here is 312-332-3776. Give us a call with a question about the value of your collectible, and you'll get in a drawing for a box of Court Kings basketball and a box of Press Pass Total Memorabilia Racing. Whoever wins will have to email Vince at ercdelivery.com and ERC Delivery will deliver the box free of charge right to your door.
Yeah, even if you're out of state, I'm going to get it to you free of charge. So if you're tweeting a picture to Tom and you're the winner and you're in Ohio or something, I'll get it to
really?
You with no
you're
charge.
Really? You're that's doing right. that? That's something
we
new.
We won't deliver that one personally, yeah. but we'll overnight it or we'll get it to you no matter
Very
what.
Very good. Now, the ERC Delivery, what area do you normally deliver to? You're on-demand delivery, so somebody could call you up at 11 a.m. and have something delivered at 3 o'clock in
they
Chicago?
They could get it quicker than that. We have like a two-hour service. So you call at 11, need it downtown by 1 or whatever. Or if you need five skids somewhere in the next hour or two, we'll get it there.
What are some pretty typical things that people will have delivered?
Copiers.
Really? You yeah, do a lot of those?
We do a lot with Konica Minolta copiers. We do... a lot of hospital work, moving machines and things like that. So,
if somebody had a piano that
sure,
they wanted,
absolutely.
You can do
call.
Something that
absolutely.
Big.
Absolutely,
huh?
If they need it moved from upstairs to downstairs, they can call us and we'll set it up and get it done.
Wow, so. Really? That's ERC Delivery and ERCDelivery.com is your website?
Yes, sir.
Very good. And Vince Clemente is the man, and we know, of course, that he's been known to sound just like.
No. That is
Clint
simply
Eastwood.
Not true. My brother thought that I sounded like Eastwood, yeah. but I'll say I don't, you know?
And then we have Bill Huggins, who sounds like Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz,
but
yes.
Or when he wants to, he can sound like Bill Holtz or Lou Holtz, but I don't have a tape of Lou Holtz.
There may
play.
Not be one that, is around.
You know, have you heard the movement lately? There was something going around the internet that... I think it started because of all the injuries in baseball, but they were talking about baseball should be moved to a 7-inning game. Now, I think that's a great idea. I think they should also use wiffle balls, give them big fat red bats, and after the 4th inning, have an ice cream break for all the guys because they're getting
I mean, have a pinch runner for every at bat for certain guys that are a little bit overweight, perhaps.
Right.
You know,
if they have a sore leg, they can stop at first and have somebody take on for them. Come on, let's not get carried away with the 7-inning thing. I guess with the length of games that it probably if they we're going to redo it now and start it all over, maybe it would have made more sense to do 7 rather than 9 innings.
What do you think of the replay? What do you think of the replay?
I don't think it's a bad idea, but I think they have to kind of, get it all tweaked as far as the best way to do it. But it seems like it's, I guess they had one play you were saying that the replay was, they do the replay and that was wrong?
There's a photo of a guy off the base being tagged and they looked at the video replay and they still called him out, but it's not a perfect system. Nothing is.
No, that really isn't. And what it might turn out to be is they'll find out that, the umpires were right more than we realized. And I think they're just trying to get rid of the really blatant error mistakes by an umpire. Like in that one World Series that always sticks in my mind
Kansas
in the 80s,
City,
the Kansas
St.
City,
Louis.
The guy was, that type of stuff. That's what they'd like to take care of. Charlie from the North Side's on the line. Tell us what you have there, Charlie.
Good morning, fellas. How are you today?
Doing great.
Morning.
I've got an NFL Hall of Fame helmet that's signed. It's a regular sized helmet that's signed by a bunch of guys from the NFL. Which the two names are coming to my head. I can't believe I can't remember them. But Ditka Horning. These are all like old timers from Ditka's era back.
Do you have Unitas on there?
No. Unitas was not there.
That would have been a good one. How many total signatures you think?
Probably
25. That's pretty good. Bill, anybody else he should look for that would really help the value of that? I mean, it is all Hall of Famers, which is good.
Yeah, it was a Hall of Famers also, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I say this all the time, your value in autographs is in dead people, and the deader the better.
Right. So I guess you'd have to look and see if anyone that's on there died at a young age. It helps the value, as morbid as that might sound. And but it's great that you got all Hall of Famers. It makes a great helmet. It's got to be worth hundreds right now. And just make sure if you do add to it that you don't get anything but Hall of Famers on there.
Right, right, yeah. It's got the Hall of Fame logo on it too.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great helmet.
Right.
Okay, next on the line we have John from Edgewater. What's new, John? Tell us what you have.
It's actually a friend of mine has this. It's a full page handwritten
note to her father by Babe Ruth, been authenticated that it's Babe Ruth's signature, telling him, encouraging him to continue to play baseball. It was probably written in the late 20s or early 30s.
Oh, so it was written while he was still playing. I would have thought that would have been like in the 40s or something. That's neat. And then it's signed by Babe Ruth at the end.
Exactly.
Wow, Bill, have you had an item like that in?
Well, John, is it signed Babe or Babe Ruth?
I believe it was signed Babe Ruth. I don't have it in front of me, but I have seen it.
Because a lot of times you get letters from players when they write them, and they actually don't sign their name, their full name, as you wouldn't if you were writing a letter to somebody you knew or something. And if it's just signed Babe, it would have less value than if it was signed Babe Ruth.
Does
but
it
a handwritten letter signed by Babe Ruth is $5,000 to $10,000.
Oh boy!
Whoa, boy! So, is there any way your friend is gonna, like, for your birthday, John? He's gonna give it to you? Or?
Well, I kind of doubt that. Although she did give me his baseball hat, that the father's hat, but not.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say a Babe Ruth worn cap. Oh my God, a Yankees hat! Remember who was the pitcher who bought one of those and wore one? David Wells, I think. Wore an actual Babe Ruth Yankees hat in a game one time when
really?
He was with the Yankees.
No kidding.
Remember that, Bill?
Yeah, he got fined, too.
I bet. Now, what would a Babe Ruth game-worn cap sell for?
Oh, you're into the $50,000 to $100,000 range.
And if we added the Dave Wells part of that as a game-used thing with his hat as well, a Babe Ruth slash David Wells game worn hat.
I think David Wells had bought a Babe Ruth in an auction, and he was keeping it as a collectible, and
very
then
cool.
I guess as a tribute wore it, and then he pitched a perfect game.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was that same day, but yeah, great item, John. If you ever can get a picture, we'd love to see it. Okay, next on the line we have Angelo from Hammond, Indiana. What's new there, Angelo?
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing great.
All right. Yeah, Marvel here is a signed home plate by Lou Brock. A Lou Brock signed home plate.
Okay, is it a home plate from, like, a stadium? Like, or what?
I don't know if it was from a game home plate, you know? It was, I guess it's a major league home plate.
Okay.
By Lou Brock.
What do you think of that, Bill? Like, let's say it came from Wrigley Field. A home plate for some reason, and Lou Brock signed it. How much would that be worth compared to just a manufactured home plate that Lou Brock signed?
I think the difference is 100 to 300 times the value.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring, too. So I guess the key to that item would be to see if you have any paperwork that tells where it actually came from, because the value is huge if it came from a park. Can you imagine if it came from Wrigley Field and before the trade?
Yeah, if you had,
I remember that trade.
That was unmistakable as far as that it was came from Wrigley Field. That's gigantic. Yeah.
Oh, that would be quite the item. Real quick, we'll try to get one more on here, and then it's Joshua from Montgomery. You're going to have to make this quick. What do you have, real fast?
Real fast, my uncle is into signatures big time. He's got game-worn shoes by Jordan signed.
Oh, very nice. Now, what year are they from, do you know?
Oh, that's a very good question. I think from the 91 season.
Okay, check that out and let us know next week. But, Bill, game-worn, let's say it's 91 Jordan shoes, quick estimate.
Game-worn Jordan shoes, $1,000 plus.
All right, very good. It's time to do the drawing now for a box of Court Kings basketball and a Press Pass Total Memorabilia racing box.
The winner is going to be Mark from Twitter.
Oh, Mark from Twitter. Very good.
So email me, vince@ercdelivery.com. We'll set up a delivery at your convenience free of charge.
Ah, very good. ercdelivery.com. Bill Huggins, thanks a lot. Steve Dickler from Huggins and Scott Auctions, thanks for joining us this week. Now, remember that if you do have any questions about value of unopened material, you can contact Steve Dickler. Steve, are you at the Huggins and Scott location, same where Bill is usually, or where are you located?
I'm located outside of Philadelphia, Tom, but if the calls come in to Huggins and Scott, Bill will forward the calls to me, and we'll get the answers to your listeners.
Okay, very good. And if you have something of value, they could always consign that into a Huggins and Scott auction. Check out HugginsandScott.com. Next week is Easter Sunday. That's going to be weird doing the show. We're going to have to give away something really good, really unusual next week. I'll try to come up with something a little different for Easter Sunday.
Yeah, we want to wish Camden a happy birthday tomorrow. Yes. 1 year old, great customer of T-Crown.
The youngest customer at T-Crown turns 1 year old. You can see his pictures on. Okay, have a great week, everybody. Thanks for listening.